We're going to start at verse number 17, and we're going to go down to verse 27, and I'll read verse 17, 4:17, and then you join with me on every other verse, so you'll do 18, 20, and so forth. Ephesians 4:17, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Join with me on this very short verse to finish it. "Neither give place to the devil." With the help of the Lord, I'd like to speak to you on a theme really today. We'll start here, but we'll be looking at several other passages on the two words in verse 27, give place. Give place. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the singing and the fellowship and the just all the service thus far. We pray that you have been honored by it and glorified by it. We pray now that you would help us not to be thinking about lunch or thinking about tonight or thinking about next week or what happened last week. Lord, I pray that our minds would be right here in the Word of God. Lord, I pray for a young person, a middle-aged person, and maybe someone a little bit more senior that doesn't know Christ as Savior. I don't know everybody's heart here today, Father. Draw them to yourself. Lord, I pray that you would encourage the one that needs encouraging today. I pray, God, that you would convict all of us. I'm sure all of us need some conviction in some area of our life. Help us to be willing to say yes to however the Spirit leads us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. As we read through this particular passage of the book of Ephesians, written by the Apostle Paul and written to believers, we recognize how he's emphasizing, in a sense, spiritual growth. I'm not going to be preaching necessarily all the way through this text. Many times we do that. This would be, I guess you would say, more of a topical type message. We'll be coming back to this particular passage toward the end of the message. But definitely we see here the emphasis or the point that he's trying to make about putting off the old man, putting on the new man, knowing Christ, learning Christ, not doing the things that you used to do. Like in verse 19, he says, "Who being past feeling have given themselves over." So in the past, before we came to Christ, we were involved in this or that or whatever it may be. And he lists some things and he says, but now you're different. Now you are on the winning side, as we sang earlier today. Now you have the ability through Christ to say yes to him and no to the flesh. It is something that we have to be diligent about because the flesh is very much alive in you. And we haven't been separated from that yet until the Lord comes or until we go home to be with him, whenever that happens, then we will be. Praise the Lord for that. But right now there's a daily battle that's going on. But I'm so thankful that we have the equipment to win that battle. We have the ability, again, through Christ, as you can see here. So as we think about this two-word title, it's found four times in your Bible, four times. And we're going to look at all four of those here this morning. And so I'd like you to take your Bible, please, now and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 49. Give place. Give place. There are four admonitions that we're going to look at this morning with the help of the Lord. Please pray for me, and I'm praying for you. We're all praying for one another that we would heed the admonitions that we are given from these two words, but of course, many other words along the way. Isaiah 49, Essentially, here's what it means, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament. It essentially means this: to make room, to rope off a section that it may be left alone or reserved for a specific purpose. To give place, to rope off an area that some point that area is going to be for a specific purpose. It is roped off. Okay, Isaiah 49, if you will, and verse number 20, the Bible reads, "The children which thou shalt have after that thou hast lost the other shall say again in thine ears, the place is too strait for me." Notice, give place to me that I may dwell. Give place to me. It is prophesied in the book of Isaiah that Israel will fall under the judgment hand of God. But one day, we know, maybe you know this already, that there will be a regathering of God's chosen people. Up until that time, they're scattered, right? They're scattered everywhere. That is today as well, from the four corners of the earth. God's people, though, the Jewish people, made a choice to reject the Messiah that God had sent. Go with me now to the Gospel of John, the Gospel according to John, chapter number 1. Give place. John chapter 1 and verse number, John chapter 12, John chapter 12. Didn't see that too there. And verse number 40. John 12, 40. "He hath blinded," let's go back up to 39, "therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again," Isaiah is Isaiah, "he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." And in John chapter number 1, now we'll look at John chapter number 1, just turn a few pages back, they rejected the Messiah. And verse number 10, the Bible reads, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not." So we don't need to look for another Messiah in 2025. We don't need to look for another prophet for that matter either. We have the entire Word of God from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, inspired, infallible, preserved Word of God. And yes, we're waiting for the Lord to come. We're waiting for the trumpet to sound. We're waiting for the dead in Christ to rise first. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." I'm definitely looking forward to that day, and I'm glad it's coming. We don't need to look for another Messiah. But because they rejected him, we see in John chapter number 12, verse 40, that we read a moment ago, that because of this prophesied national rejection of Jesus, John wrote what we read earlier. One day Israel will be restored, and so would the blessing of God. So in Isaiah 49, 20, which is our first point, and that is we are giving place, number one, preparing for God's blessings. Preparing for God's blessings. He says in verse 20 of Isaiah 49, "Give place to me that I may dwell." That I may dwell. In other words, rope off a section of land that it may be left alone and reserved for me. God's people, and if you're saved today, by the way, you can identify with that. You can say, "I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King." We aren't children of God by physical birth. We are children of God by spiritual birth. Jesus said to that great theological religious man in John 3, "You must be born again." And when we are born again of the Spirit of God, and we become a child of God. And because of that, we speak of God's blessings. How many of you like to have God blessing your life, okay? If your hand's not up right now, you must be asleep, or I don't know what, okay? Or you don't understand what that means, because we all need God's blessings. Two hands, and I'd raise my feet if I could. We won't do that, all right? But we need God's blessings. But do we make room for them? Do we prepare for them? Do we give place for the blessings of God? Would you go over to Psalm 81, please? Psalm 81. Blessings of God. Give place to the blessings of God. Psalm 81. This is a verse you want to mark and you want to know it and meditate on it. Psalm 81, verse 10. God's word says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. You know what? We didn't come out of the land of Egypt, but we came out of Egypt. When we got saved, that's a picture of the world. That's a picture of sin, Egypt. When we got saved, God delivered us from Egypt. When we came to Christ as our personal Savior, God delivered us from Egypt. And so this verse applies to me. This verse applies to you today. Yes, it's speaking in the context, original context, of the fact that God delivered Israel. Notice what he says. Open thy mouth how? Wide. That's preparation. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. I think sometimes, if we're not careful, we are walking around wanting the blessings of God in our life, but we're not making room for it. We're not taking a rope and roping off that part of our heart. We're not opening our mouth, as the psalmist says here. We're not giving place to the blessings of God. I like what Mr. Spurgeon said about this text, Psalm 81:10. He said, when the mother bird brings food, she never has to ask the little ones to open their mouth. Can you kind of see that? In your mind's eye today, can you see that mother bird swooping into the nest and those little birdies are yet their heads up there and they don't have many feathers yet and they're not sitting there with their mouth closed saying, I wonder what's happening next. It's an instinct. It's an instinct in the bird, but you know what? It's an instinct in us too, that we need the blessings of God. We need the blessings of God and the blessings of... I was reading this morning in our scripture reading about how God continued to bless the nation of Israel even though they rejected him time and time again. And the text just kept saying in Nehemiah, it just kept saying that the mercies of God were there. The mercies of God were there. The mercies of God. But I submit to you today, let's be the little birdie in the nest. Let's say, God, I've got my mouth open wide. I can't open it any wider, spiritually speaking. Her only difficulty, back to this quote, her only difficulty is to fill the great width which they are quite sure to present her. But here's the part of the quote that really stood out to me. Appetite and eagerness are never lacking. Think about it. Do you have an appetite for the blessings of God? Or do you have an appetite, as Paul wrote to the Ephesians, do you have an appetite for the old life? Do you have a desire or the eagerness for the blessings of God? Or are you eager to pull up that program that doesn't honor God and watch it? And I mean, Christians, we all struggle with things in our life. No one here has arrived, okay? And so what we need to be careful of is we don't want to give place to the wrong things. We don't want to rope up, but we want to give place to the blessings of God. He goes on to say, these little birds are utterly insatiable. Picture a nest of little birds reaching up their mouths and all opening them as wide as they can. And I ask us this morning, how wide, how big is our appetite for God? You know what? I don't think we've scratched the surface of knowing God. I don't think we've scratched the surface of the goodness of God and the blessings of God. I'm glad we have a Bible. I'm glad if you're saved today, you have the Spirit of God that can help us to understand all that God wants us to understand. Believe me, God is not holding back. God is not hiding. God has revealed himself time and time again in our life. Let us not be holding back and make preparation. Just as the people of God got ready for God's blessing by asking for a bigger place. As we go back to, as we in our mind think of that verse 20 again, give place to me that I may dwell. Give place to me that I may dwell. Roped off an area. Of course, we know that God gave them an area in 1948. It became a nation. We are told to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. This is not a political message. This is a Bible message. We are told to pray for Israel. Told to pray for everyone. But this morning, give place to the blessings of God. Would you turn with me to Matthew 9, please, now? Give place. Rope off an area. Matthew chapter 9. And And we're going to look at verse 24. He said unto them, "Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. I mean, can you imagine this scene? Jairus' daughter. Again, we don't have time to dig really, really all the way through all of these passages of Scripture. But his daughter has died. Jesus has come, and he's basically said, clear the room. Rope off the room, okay? Give place. Rope off the room, clear it out, because something is about to happen. He had some important work to do. Number two, I submit to us this morning that we give place, number two, and get out of God's way. Get out of God's way. The last thing I want to do is stand in the way of what God wants to do in my life. By the way, the person that is standing in the way of God in your life is not somebody else you're thinking about right now. It's not your boss, it's not your parents, it's not your sibling, it's not your neighbor, it's not someone who just, you know, they don't like you. They're not standing in the way. I am standing in the way of God doing something great in my life, and I don't want to be in the way. Maybe I'm there a little bit. I want to get completely out of the way. Jesus said here, give place. Rope this area off. Well, I'm telling you this morning, I look at a wonderful group of people here today that if we would have this theme in our mind of I'm not gonna be in the way. I'm gonna give place to what God wants to do in my life. What does that look like? It looks like this. Every morning when we get up, we get into the Word of God. Every morning when we get up, we say, God, thank you for a new day. Every morning when we get up, we say, speak to me as I read. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We'd say that to the Lord. In other words, every morning we say, if there's any sin in my life, God, reveal it to me. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We want to get out of the way so that that day we are filled with the Spirit, we are led by the Spirit, and I believe God does miracles in our life when we die to self and get out of the way. God has something he wants to do. But my lack of faith gets in the way. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, there is coming a day when our faith will be sight. I'm sorry to do this, but I don't mean to bring up hurt in your life. But for the last couple of weeks, I just have been thinking about two brothers that have gone to heaven recently. Not brothers biologically, but brothers in the Lord who sat in these rooms. Their memory is embedded into my heart. I deeply miss them. I'm so thankful that they lived a life, not perfect, but they lived a life honoring to the Lord. And I believe in many ways, I saw them get out of the way and let God work in their life. Oh, they had things in their past maybe that we could say, they could say, I can't do this because of this, and I can't do this because of this. No, you can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. That's not just for the people that are in heaven today that could say that. That's for you and me, for Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Might we get out of the way? In the Old Testament, a man by the name of Achan stood in the way. Do you remember him? Would you go with me quickly to Joshua and chapter 22? He stood in the way. May God speak to you right here through the Word of God. I don't want you to hear the pastor. I want you to hear the Lord. I'm glad for the foolishness of preaching. I had the privilege of preaching in Manitoba last week, and it was an honor and a privilege. I thank you for praying for me. I was as weak as could be that morning. It was the first morning there, and I didn't sleep at all. I was up at 5:30 local time. That's 3:30 a.m. Vancouver time. And boy, I just could not go back to sleep. But God met with us in a mighty way. I'm not talking about just for me. I'm talking about for all that we heard 10 messages. Thank you for praying. But God does use the foolishness of preaching. But I don't want you to hear it from a man. I want you to hear from the Lord. Anytime somebody stands behind this sacred desk, I pray that we don't see or hear him. We see the Lord. We hear from the Lord. And I'm not talking about spooky stuff here. I'm talking about by the Spirit of God in you that you hear from the Lord. But we see Joshua 22, Achan stood in the way. Verse number 20, 22, 20. Did not Achan the son of Zerah commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel? Wow. And that man perished not alone because of his iniquity. If you'd like to write down Joshua chapter 7, you can read the story in detail. We won't today for time. But here is the summary of what happened. When they went into Jericho, God said, don't take anything. Because God always deserves the best. There's so many principles that we could talk about right there, but I can't, or we're going to be rabbit trailing until Jesus comes. Just read those things and let God speak to you. There's so many things there. God always deserves the best in your life, the first in your life. Think about it. Achan, unfortunately, saw a Babylonian garment. Lust of the eyes. He thought, wow, those threads would look good on me. I've needed a new suit. And he grabbed it. Lust of the eyes, pride of life. They had a victory that day, praise the Lord. But then the next battle, they go out to little old Ai. Ai. They only sent a partial army. Joshua did. And they got whooped. People died. I can't remember how many people died, but men died. Why? Because Achan stood in the way of what God wanted to do. What is Achan? Achan is a picture here of someone whose sin gets in the way. Because God cannot bless, as we taught in verse number one, or point number one, he cannot bless if we are living in continual sin. He will chastise us if we are living in continual sin, and praise the Lord for that. In Matthew 13, Jesus' friends and neighbors stood in the way of his blessing. Matthew 13, verse 53, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence, and when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? I mean, isn't this a guy who he just works with a hammer and nail? How can he be like this? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him, in his hometown. But Jesus said unto them, prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their, does anybody know the last word? Unbelief. Again, what stood in the way? Unbelief. I say today, let's get out of the way. Let's rope off whatever we need to rope off. Maybe there's sin in your life this morning like Achan. You need to confess that sin. It's buried somewhere in your house. Like Achan tried to bury it under something as if God's not going to find out. I mean, we have a loving God, folks, but we also have a holy God. Let us not get past the holiness of God. I think sometimes in Christianity, we get so attached to the love, 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 love. I mean, great, praise God. It is the central thing, but also he's holy. He's not going to let one of his children bury sin in their life continuously without dealing with it. And I'll tell you what, we need to rope that area off and say, devil, no more. I'm roping off this. I'm roping off this area of my life. I'm confessing the sin. I'm getting rid of it. I don't want to stand in the way of the blessing of God. And by the way, think about it. Achan stood in the way, not just for Achan. He stood in the way of his family. Thank you, sister. They all got judged. because he hid something. Oh, my friend, I implore all of us today, let God go through with a spiritual flashlight in your heart and let God show you and reveal to you, this has got to go. And by the grace of God, let's get rid of it. Judas and other disciples stood in the way of Mary and of Bethany in her gift in Mark 14:4. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? Notice they said it within themselves. Isn't that something? Sometimes we definitely think things that we don't say, and that's probably a good thing, by the way. But we also want to say Philippians 4:8, we need to get that in our life. Think on these things. Alexander the coppersmith and Diotrephes, they both withstood the blessings of God in their local churches in the New Testament. I encourage us this morning, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. It's a very small verse. Here's what it says. Quench not the Spirit. I want to encourage all of us here this morning, let's get out of God's way and let God be God in our life. Let's get out of God's way and let's let Him work. Let Him provide. Let Him bring revival. Let's get out of God's way. Let's give place and get out of God's way. Number three, quickly, Romans chapter 12. Give place, give place, give place. Romans 12, verse number 19 says, Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. This morning, I want to encourage you by the word of God where he says, neither, but rather give place unto wrath. But then he says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Let's this morning rope off wrath rather than allowing it to run free. It's got to be roped off. Now, I will say, wrath should be reserved if used at all. We read it earlier. For Ephesians 4:26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In essence, this is the roping off of wrath and giving it a proper place. Let me give you quickly God's word on this. Ephesians 4:31, you might want to write these references down. I'm going to read them for time's sake. I have them typed out here in my notes. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. With all malice. Colossians 3:8. But now ye also put off all these things. Put off all these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. That's Colossians 3:8. So we've seen, let all wrath be put away. Then we've seen, put all of it off. Anger is in there. Wrath is in there. 1 Timothy 2:8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Here's the theme what we've given for this give place. Number three, give place and get under spirit control. If we are under the Spirit's control, our wrath will be roped off. And it won't just, because normally this is where it comes from, right? Comes right out of this section right here. Now, earlier we said, open our mouth wide and he will fill it. Now we're saying, close our mouth. I just kind of thought about that. Close our mouth and let God be God. Give place. Get under spirit control. Remember, giving place is roping off an area for a specific time or purpose. Another verse, James 1:19 and 20. We have a t-shirt for this years ago in the youth group. I still have it kicking around in my dresser from this verse. Just listen. Anyway, great times. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The wrath of man. There is a place for wrath and anger, yes. But out of its place, it is dangerous and a very bad testimony. Out of its place, it is not honoring to the Lord. So we must give place to being spirit controlled. This is so challenging. Some of us have a longer fuse than others, as we say. Some of us have a very, very, we might say, short fuse. Okay? We can't blame it on whether it's short or long. The Holy Spirit is good. Sorry to use it this way, one size fits all. Does that make sense? It doesn't matter what your personality or is or isn't. The Holy Spirit is not bound by my personality or yours. Short fuse, long fuse, whatever it may be, if I'm giving place to spirit control, then my wrath and my anger and my mouth and all of it is going to be under control. Now, there are things that we should be angry about because God hates them. Wickedness, a froward heart, slander, deceit, lying, false ways, evil, proud look, hands that shed innocent blood, hearts that plan evil, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness, a discord sower. But we must be controlled by the Spirit. We must rope that off. We must give place to being spirit controlled. And as we think back now, let's go back to our original launching point, Ephesians chapter 4. This is honestly the rope that ties it all up. Give place. Paul writes it. Verse 27, here it is. Neither give place to the devil. So now, we're kind of looking at it a little bit, not backwards, but almost opposite, that we are roping off our life and we're saying, devil, stay out. We're roping off our will. Think about this. We're roping off the will. You know, God has a will for your life, meaning God has a plan for your life. I must say, I don't remember who said it originally, but knowing the will of God and doing it ought to be our desire this morning as believers. You say, how do I know the will of God? You get in the Word of God. God always leads us by His Spirit through His Word. God leads us by other believers that are speaking the truth in love. God leads us through His Spirit. If you're saved here today, you have the Spirit of God to lead you. Number four, don't give place to the ways of the devil. The command is clear. Don't make any room for him. Please, please, please. Don't make any room. This is where we have to go to God and we have to say, God, am I giving the devil any room? Are we willing to listen to God's Spirit through the Word of God, through the preaching of the Word of God, through just different circumstances that God brings into our life? That's only God that could do that. And God is trying to say something. God is trying to knock. Are we ready to open the door and let Him lead our life? Are we just going to continue on in our life, not giving Him any place at all? And when we don't give place to God, then we are by default giving place to the enemy. Yet God, He does love us. I do praise God. I'm not belittling the love of God. I'm so glad that God is merciful to me. And even in my sinfulness, God loves me and He forgives me and He still has a perfect will for your life and my life. Reserve Him no space. If you're trying to give up a particular sin or bad habit this morning, it would be very unwise to expose yourself to it. Don't give place to it. If it's in your house, get rid of it. If it's in your playlist on your phone, get rid of it. If it's a movie that you've downloaded that does not honor God, get rid of it. Don't just say, well, I won't watch it again. That's foolishness. Delete it. Get it out of there. Don't give place if you've got books that you shouldn't read. Get rid of them. Don't take them to Value Village. Don't let anybody else read them. Destroy them. I'm serious. Don't help somebody else give place. Whatever it may be, maybe it's alcohol, maybe it's some kind of a drug of sorts, I don't know. Maybe it's foul language and listening to that on TV or listening to that on movies or whatever it may be. Maybe it's pornography. A very damaging thing. In Christian men is pornography. Don't give place to it. If you've started to give place to it, it's time to talk to someone. It's time to have someone pray with you. It's time to have several people pray with you. It's time to, and you know what? Most of the time, if a man has a problem with that, he's so embarrassed that he doesn't want to get help, or he's knee-deep in it already. I'm not talking to the lost world. I'm talking to believers. Don't give place, men. It's a click away. Everybody knows that. Don't give place. We will never win the war against sin by taking part in it. Think of it now. We will never win the war. You say, I thought we're on the winning side. We are, but there's a daily war. Hast thou not considered my servant Job? Isn't that something? We read that this morning. He's a man who fears God and eschews evil. He's not giving place to evil, yet he's giving place to God. Wow. That testimony just is amazing, isn't it? Wow. What an example for this message that I really wasn't even thinking about. Here's someone who gave place, Job. But by the way, God has not changed. God is still good. God is still strong and mighty, and there's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains behind me are His. The valleys are His. The stars are His handiwork too. This almighty creator God wants you to open your heart and say, God, I give place fully to You. I'm not giving place to the sensuality of the world. I'm not giving place to the money of the world. I'm not giving place to any of these things. I'm not giving place to that anymore. I'm giving place to You. You know what? The earlier in life we make that decision, there's going to be battles along the way, yes. But the earlier in life we make that decision, when those things come, it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be less of a problem for us to say no to sin and yes to God if we make that decision continually. I'm not going to give place to the devil. I'm not going to give place to the devil. I'm not going to give place to the devil. That might mean we have to eliminate, excuse me, that's not a good word. It might mean we have to cut off some friends. Again, tell me your friends, I'll tell you where you're headed. Seriously. Friendships are so crucial. Don't give place to the enemy. The devil is given way too much roped off area in the life of Christians. No, we're not supposed to rope it off for him. We're supposed to rope it off for the one who gave his life. Give place. Are you ready for the blessings of God? Give place. Open your mouth wide. And he will out of the way. Repent of sin, whatever it may be. Get out of the way of what God wants to do. Are you ready for the blessings of God? Are we ready to give place? Let's get under the Spirit's control. Let's get wise about the ways of our enemy. I wonder this morning, how has God challenged us in this area of giving place? This message is right from the Bible, topical, if you will, but here are four areas that we need to, three that we need to give place to, and the other one we don't want to give place to, if you want to look at it that way. But very first and foremost is you've got to give place to God in your heart about salvation. None of these are going to mean much of anything until we give place to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, in this area of being saved. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the confession the mouth is made unto salvation. I messed that up a little bit. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Are you saved? Do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? If not, Jesus is saying, give place to me. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Give place to Jesus for your salvation. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Thank you so much for listening. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We'll have a song in a moment, but let me speak to you for a moment. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, please just think about what we're hearing. Think about what God is saying. Give place. Give place. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. What am I giving place to? What am I roping off? Please, just be willing to submit to the Lord. You're not submitting to the pastor. May God help us, myself included. Let's submit to the Lord. Let's stop playing the Christian game. We're wasting days. We're wasting hours. God has something bigger for you. Give place. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I won't embarrass you in any way. I wonder, is there anyone here this morning you'd say, Pastor Turner, please pray for me. I'm not even saved. I have never given place to Jesus Christ in my life as my Savior. If I died right now, I do not know that I would be in heaven. I'm concerned about that. Would you please pray for me? I won't embarrass you, won't come to you. But is there anyone like that? You would just raise your hand. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anyone like that? You just slip your hand up. Anyone at all? I won't ask for a raise of hands, but I wonder today, as God spoke to you through his word about this thought of giving place. Again, I trust if he has, we would just submit to him. Heavenly Father, work in this invitation in a mighty way, please. May you get all the glory for it in Jesus' name. Let's stand together, please, if you're able to. The pianist will begin to play a song of invitation. God dealt with you about something. Would you come? Don't worry about, you can just slip by someone. Let's really just, if God is working, let's make our way to the front on either side. People will move if you want to come pray. Give place, give place. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you work in our hearts and lives. Thank you, Lord, for the biblical principles that you showed us today. I pray, God, that your word would not go in one ear and out the other. We know it won't return void. We claim that promise. We also ask, Lord, that we would be doers of the word now. How do we need to apply this to our life? And I believe you will show us how to do that. Your spirit will lead us. We know that the flesh will be combative against it. And so I pray, God, that you would help us to have victory in the areas that we shouldn't be roping off and then roping off the ones we should. Giving place. Thank you, Father, for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, I want to thank you for being here this morning. Veronica, thank you so much for coming and being a guest. If you didn't meet Veronica, please do that. Also, Carmen is here. She's been here a few times. A friend of Peter. Carmen's back today. Carmen, we're so glad to have you. If you haven't met Carmen yet, please make sure and meet her before you leave. Also, I want to remind you that we have a discipleship program here at Anchor Baptist Church called Continue. It's a 14-lesson series. If you've never been through that, you say, I've been through others, that's fine. But maybe you ought to consider going through Continue. We have two men right now that are going through Continue. Brother Cena right here is going through Continue with Pastor Yassine. And Brother Peter and I started yesterday on lesson one on Continue. And I want to say this to God's glory. Brother Peter's already graduated from FBI. You know, he's Dr. Hall. I call him that. He got the best grades when, I mean, I couldn't compete with the guy. I mean, he just had 100, 105, 104. It was him and Pastor Nathan neck and neck. And I think Dr. Hall won. But, you know, he came to me after last Sunday morning's message. I say this to God be the glory. And I say this to pray for Brother Peter and myself. But he really wants to teach people. If you missed last week, I challenge you to go back and listen to that message. All week long, I kept hearing teach, teach, teach from other different places, not just where the conference I was, but it's amazing how that kept coming up in Bible reading and so forth. And really, his goal is he wants to be able to go through that discipleship with somebody. He's never been through it yet himself, so he's going to go through it with me, God willing. We'll finish that in 13 more weeks, but that's his goal. So pray for him, and this is what we need. I heard on the way this morning somebody talking about being saved for many years and being a teacher. Don't think when you say being a teacher, you have to stand up and lecture, 100 people. You might be teaching one at a time. Anyway, we need more teachers in the work of the Lord. Let's pray together, and then we'll be dismissed. Heavenly